The halls of Marymount Prep witness a collision of worlds between Clay Collins, the privileged debutante, and Olivia Liv Yeager, the working-class scholarship student. Their relationship begins as pure antagonism. Clay, the entitled saint from the wealthy side of town, torments Liv, the swamp girl from Sanoa Bay. On the surface, Clay's life appears perfect. She's preparing for her debutante ball in a mother-approved Valentino gown, surrounded by sycophantic friends, dating the handsome lacrosse captain. Yet beneath this veneer lies profound emptiness that she fills with stolen Valium, hidden vodka, and secret visits to McKinley's funeral home, where she finds strange comfort working with the dead. Why are we so often cruelest to those who awaken something within us we're not ready to face? Both protagonists hide behind carefully constructed personas. Clay maintains a perfect daughter image while privately battling substance abuse, grief over her brother Henry's death, and questions about her sexuality. Her family presents unity despite internal fractures, her father's Miami affair, her mother's obsession with appearances, and Clay finding solace in a funeral home rather than at home. Liv similarly juggles multiple identities, quiet scholarship student, aspiring actor relegated to backstage work, and fierce guardian of family legacy in Sanoa Bay. Clay's grandmother, Mimi, reveals a crucial insight. Every woman has her sins. You can have whatever you want as long as it stays a secret. This exposes performance as a multi-generational female experience, with women maintaining respectable facades while finding freedom in the shadows. Physical spaces mirror this duality. Marymount's pristine halls versus Sanoa Bay's gritty auto shop, the church where they exchange barbs versus the locker room where attraction prevails. Their antagonism begins years before the novel opens, establishing a pattern neither can break. Clay posts humiliating videos of Liv and uses homophobic slurs, while Liv retaliates by destroying Clay's heirloom dress. Yet beneath this hostility lies obsessive fascination. Each confrontation crackles with unspoken desire. When Clay orders Liv to pin her hem, their proximity creates electricity. During lacrosse clashes, physical aggression barely conceals attraction. This tension culminates in a locker room kiss that shocks them with its intensity. This enemies-to-lovers dynamic is compelling because it's rooted in genuine conflict, not mere misunderstanding. Clay admits, "I hate Olivia Yeager, but would happily hate her my whole life rather than love anything else," revealing how their conflict defines her identity. The novel doesn't romanticize this toxic beginning, but shows how connection requires dismantling these patterns. When Clay breaks down after Liv withdraws from school, confessing, "You weren't supposed to give up on me," we see how their antagonism provided a twisted intimacy neither knew how to achieve otherwise. Power struggles define Clay and Liv's relationship. Clay wields institutional power through her family name, wealth, and status, while Liv possesses physical strength and the power of apparent indifference, her ability to walk away. Their sexual encounters become battlegrounds of shifting dominance. In the shower scene, Liv takes control, pleasuring Clay before leaving with the comment that Clay will be wasted on her boyfriend, a reversal that leaves Clay vulnerable and wanting more. Despite their antagonism, both choose these encounters, finding liberation in suppressed desires. Clay's grandmother warns that refusing what you need to feel alive leads to detriment or death, capturing the novel's essence about authentic desire transcending social constraints. The community's power structures frame their personal struggle. Sanoa Bay's incorporation into St. Carmen parallels how Liv exists at Marymount without true acceptance. Clay's father's plans to develop a golf course over Liv's neighborhood symbolizes how privilege threatens marginalized communities. Clay's journey from internalized homophobia to acceptance unfolds authentically. Her initial cruelty toward Liv stems partly from projecting her own fears onto her. When she finally acknowledges her attraction, she cycles through denial, rationalizing her feelings as being starved for affection rather than accepting her identity. Liv, already comfortable with her sexuality, faces external obstacles, navigating hostility at school and microaggressions from family. Her frustration emerges when her brother Army jokes about getting her a stripper, revealing how even those closest don't consider her attraction to women legitimate. Their physical relationship progresses from charged moments to explicit contact, each interaction revealing deeper psychological layers. Clay's locker room kiss represents both desire and surrender of her carefully constructed facade. The novel avoids simplistic coming-out resolutions. Clay faces realistic consequences, vandalized locker, friends turning away, whispered conversations. Yet the epilogue reveals that while initial reactions were negative, supporters emerged unexpectedly, proving louder, stronger, and much more vicious in defending them. The transformative journey from enemies to lovers forms the novel's emotional core. Initially, both characters seem locked in destructive patterns. Clay's calculated cruelty masking insecurity, Liv's retaliatory aggression serving as armor against vulnerability. This toxic dynamic shifts when Liv withdraws from school, forcing Clay to confront their conflict's real impact. Her lighthouse breakdown reveals her deep dependence on their relationship. Her admission that Liv wasn't supposed to give up on me exposes lifelong abandonment fears. Similarly, Liv's journey requires confronting how she's weaponized hatred as a shield against deeper feelings. Through beach walks and conversations with her grandmother about generational trauma, Liv begins to understand that running away solved nothing. Douglas shows how growth requires active choice and effort. Small moments illuminate this evolution. Clay learning to apologize without deflection. Liv practicing boundaries without walls. When Clay chooses to stay local while Liv attends Dartmouth, she demonstrates newfound self-awareness, choosing stability over status for the first time. The novel concludes with Clay and Liv purchasing the lighthouse that once marked the boundary between their territories, a powerful symbol bridging their worlds. Standing between land and sea, between saint and swamp communities, it represents their ability to overcome seemingly insurmountable divides. The epilogue balances romantic fulfillment with realistic challenges. Clay's nervous conversation with Macon about marrying Liv shows family dynamics remain complex 4 years later. Liv's brothers maintain their protective stance, with Macon's blessing coming with the warning that if Clay fails his sister, he'll feed you to the gators. The final scene of Liv proposing captures their relationship's essence. Clay's thought, "God, I love her. I was ready to ask her, but she beat me to it," reveals how far she's come in accepting her feelings. Their playful banter afterward incorporates their combative history into affection. In a world that divided them through class, homophobia, and social expectations, their greatest rebellion is building a future together, a lighthouse illuminating how love can transcend boundaries.